Welcome back to Sports Byline USA, coast to coast, border to border, and around the world on the American Forces Radio Network. It's our pleasure to welcome to the show RZA. You know him from the Wu-Tang Clan and a lot of other stuff. Well, he's here to talk about his movie that he directed called Cutthroat City. It is now out on digital, and it's coming on a Blu-ray combo DVD pack on the 20th of this month. And RZA, first of all, I got to get to the fact that you got so many cool nicknames, and I'm jealous of the fact that you got so many cool nicknames. The one that I always wondered about, though, was the scientist. What does that come from, man?
Wow. Well, I mean, you know what? If I wasn't a hip-hop producer, rapper, slash director, artist, I would be a scientist. Science is my favorite hobby and one of my favorite pastimes. And as a young MC, you know, I had lyrics about starting off as a sperm cell and going through mitosis and meiosis and things of that nature. And so they called me the rap scientist.
Yeah, I thought you were going to freestyle there for a second. Mitosis, meiosis.
Well, I gave you a tidbit. You know what I mean?
No, I like it. And, you know, it's funny about Brooklyn, too. Like, where you're from Brownsville, there's so many famous people that have come through there, and athletes and entertainers, and Larry King and others. But, like, from the time I've spent in Brooklyn, the fact that it's getting sort of this hipster mentality or gentrified, and now, you know, Brownsville is expensive. How have you seen Brooklyn, and what's good and what's bad about it changing?
I mean, the good thing, look, if, you know, gentrification, if it's dealing with replacing people, you know, that's going to be bad, right? Because where are they going to go, right? But if it's dealing with improving a community, right, you know, putting benches for old folks to sit and making sure all the lights are on in the buildings, the stairways are clean and things of that nature, then it becomes positive. But it's like, you know, communities at one point in Brooklyn, right? I'll just give you a little history. You may know this, but before all the black families moved into Brownsville, it was a lot of Jewish families there. And a lot of the services were still up to par, even though it was a poor community. But when the blacks came in, the services was depleted, you know, maybe replaced with only service was police from the city. It wasn't the same services. And then it just goes downtrodden. And now, like you said, it's becoming expensive to where these families can't afford to live there, and they have no option to do anything. And other families coming back in, and the services are returning. So one thing I would say, because I grew up in Brownsville when it was dangerous, bro. I mean, dangerous. If you walk from Tilden Projects to Van Dyke Projects and you had a dollar in your pocket, you owed a dollar by the time you got to that next project, you know what I mean? But so to see that part of it get erased, because I think that, you know, I think that's not natural. You know, even in my film Cutthroat City, I try to show that the natural characteristic of a young man can be to go to college, get a degree, work on his art, work on their music. But being black, even after all that, they still didn't have opportunity or options, right? If we could remove the non-options and the non-opportunity and offer opportunity, then any community could flourish. And I think, you know, when you say that now it's being gentrified and people are coming in, buying it up, and then, you know, these people got to get out of their own community. It's something bitter about it, you know. But you know what I've got to say, brother? It's still a lot of parts of Brownsville that has not been touched yet, and I think they still had a high murder rate, man. So I want to see the violence leave. I had a theory that, you know, because I grew up in the street, so I understand how a young man feels when he get a gun in his hand, right? But I had a theory that what if we could trade guns for guitars, right? A guitar is made of the same material as a gun. And when you put a guitar in the hand of someone like Jimi Hendrix, you know what I mean? Mick Jagger, you know, someone like Curtis Mayfield, Prince, you know, you put that guitar into their hands, they still have power, way more power than a gun, because we're still talking about Bob Marley, Jimi Hendrix, and these great guys who took the same material that's in those guns and they put it into a guitar and made songs to express their frustration. And that's what Wu-Tang did. We was headed down the wrong path, and we realized that a pencil or a pen could take us further than a gun, and we picked up that pen.
Well, that's what I really admire about you, because from your own story, you faced a time when you were at a trial that might have put you behind bars, and when they said not guilty, you basically, correct me if I'm wrong, you dedicated your life to being creative and living your life, and you turned everything around from that moment, right?
Yeah, you're 100% correct. You know, I can speak on that a little bit, because I know we're going to have a small amount of time, but, you know, one thing I hope that men and women, but especially young men, because we are prone to get into the trouble more than the young women, right? But I hope that we realize that the appreciation and acceptance and admiration of our mothers means more than anything in the world. My mother was disappointed in me. She looked at me with eyes of disappointment, and it ripped my soul. And when I got proven not guilty and had a chance to move forward, she told me to make sure I stay on that positive path. And nothing in life made me more joyous than the day that for my mother's birthday, the first house in our family, I bought a 5,000 square foot home for my mother and gave that to her from all that positivity. And I just want young men out there to honor their mother. Your mother never sees you as a criminal, a gangster, a liar, a thief. They don't see that. They see you as their children and their sons, and they have these aspirations for you. And I will say that, you know, opportunities do seem very dismal sometimes in our community, but the positive still multiplies more than the negative.
That's very well said. We're speaking with RZA, Rick Tittle with you. A couple more questions. Let's talk about Cutthroat City, the new movie, which is out on digital, and the Blu-ray combo DVD pack coming on the 20th. Fantastic cast with Shameik Moore, Wesley Snipes, T.I., Terrence Howard. What is your, or is it something fluid, your directorial style? Because we all borrow from people that went before us, and whether it's Scorsese or Kubrick or Spielberg, whatever, or some not so big directors. What would be, do you have a style, or does it kind of change day by day?
Well, I think I'm evolving to my own voice. But like you said, you know, hip-hop started from sampling old records, right? And we would make our music out of it. And then eventually the producer knew what a chord was, and he started making his own chords. So it's the same thing in film. You know, you get a lot of ideas from classic movies or from directors of your time and from directors of the past. And I've absorbed a lot. You know, I could credit, you know, being taught by Quentin Tarantino, Jim Jarmusch, and John Woo, you know, having many verbal conversations with them and watching many movies and studying in that format. But then also the time I put in myself helped me grab a lot of energy. So in my movie Cutthroat City, you'll notice I use the anamorphic lenses, which goes back more to the 50s of the film noir style. And I told my DP, you know, before I hired him, I said, I want you to go watch The Grapes of Wrath. He said, what? What are you talking about? We're making Cutthroat. I said, I know that, but in that movie, the Henry Fonda movie, the framing of that movie is incredible. The choice of where they put the camera, the perspective of the images on the screen. And he said, then he watched it, and he was like, oh, well, we're going to have to go anamorphic. And there's not a lot of anamorphic lenses left. And we had to reach out to Panasonic and get on that waiting list, and we got them, and they brought them down. And, you know, let us use them, you know, because you can't just buy, you can't buy a new one. You know, you have to actually go get the ones that was made. Point being made is that, you know, the past art is what, you know, we use as a foundation to build on, right? But we are building new buildings now, right? You know, it's not just a pyramid now. It's a, these are new structures, and that's what I hope that my film is. I hope that now that this is my third film, I've done my study, I've done the craft, and I've been through the fire a few times, and I feel like this is my best work to date, and I'm praying and hoping that I get the opportunity only to get better.
Yeah, well, they say third time's the charm, the third year in the NFL, that's when everybody kind of gets it. So let's talk about this movie, The Cutthroat City. It's set in the lower ninth in New Orleans. It's after Hurricane Katrina. You got four guys who are friends, and what happens after that in a nutshell, RZA?
Well, these four guys got that great aspirations, right? They want to enter the workforce. One wants to be a comic artist, cartoonist, and one wants to be the next Miles Davis. One wants to raise dogs and have a kennel. And, of course, there's one guy who's kind of lazy, you know what I mean, that likes to smoke weed and smoke and sell at the same time. But still, they're decent kids. And when Katrina strikes and washes away their dreams, they see all their aspirations turn into desperation. And that leads us down a whole whirlpool of events that turns the movie into an exciting ride.
And the other thing, too, I think that we have in common is that we're both chess players. And that is, I love what you say about just thinking before you push your queen out there in front of your pawns, you know. And that's what I love about great chess players is that, I mean, I can see a move or two ahead, but they can see 7, 8, 9 moves ahead. And that's something that you think we should be teaching chess to our children for that very reason, right?
Very reason. I mean, chess gives you the ability to have analytical thinking. Analytical thinking, if you think ahead, look, you could even prevent teenage pregnancy, even though there's a natural boys and girls, birds and bees, but two minutes in life could change your whole life. So that same kid who didn't think, you know, seven times before he decided to commit that crime or pull that trigger, or that same girl who didn't think about the effect of that child in her belly, what it's going to not only affect her and her boyfriend, but their families, his mother and father, their mother and father. Chess gives you an analytical way of thinking, so you could say to yourself, you know what, wait, that will lead to that and lead to that and lead to that, and that leads to checkmate. I got to avoid that. And it also helps you if you out for to set a goal for yourself. You know what I mean? You can't get you can't build the bridge in a day, but you know that, okay, if I put this level first and then add that and add that, it'll add up to, and eventually I'll have something. You know, when I make a music track, it's the same thing. I may start with just a kick drum. Then I need the snare, the hi-hat, the bass, okay, the chord, the piano, and all that adds up to a song. So chess is something that we used to have in our schools back in the great Bobby Fischer days, and we took it out. And I would advise us to play chess and martial art and music, whether it's hip-hop or any form of music, back into the schools, because the artistic mind is the mind that really records time and history almost better than any other form of human expression.
Great stuff. And I know we got to run. I wanted to ask you about when you guys were on the Larry Sanders Show, because that was one of my favorite moments. Hank asked where Dirty Old Bastard was, and you're like, oh, Old Dirty Bastard. But anyway, we got to run. We've been speaking with RZA. Check out Cutthroat City. It's going to be a big hit. Available now on digital, and of course, the Blu-ray DVD combo pack on the 13th. RZA, man, let's catch up again. I'd love to have you on.
Thanks, Rick. Hey, Rick, let me tell you one quick thing before I go on chess. So there's a grandmaster named Maurice Ashley, and on chess.com this weekend, me and the Jizza will play him. So that's going to be crazy. It's going to be a crazy chess match on chess.com this weekend. I just want to say that out loud because I never play in public. And we're going to actually get on chess.com this weekend and get a good chess fight going on.
I love it. Thanks, Riz. Appreciate it. Mom and Dad are such a loving pair, but the house really jumped.